It's time for Twig. I'm back. Jeff Jarvis is here. Stacy's here. The whole gang's all together, and for good reason. Google announced the largest slew of new products I've ever seen any company announce. And if you add the stuff from Nest last week, it's a Google-palooza. Everything Google talked about today, next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by Cachefly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 425, recorded Wednesday, October 4th, 2017. Dogatonic. This Week in Google is literally brought to you by Sonic, Twit's 10 gigabit fiber internet service provider. Join Sonic's internet revolution as they bring fast, affordable internet, phone, and TV to homes and businesses all over California. Visit sonic.com/twit to sign up for service and receive your first month free. And by 23andMe, with 23andMe's genetic service, you can learn what percentage of your DNA comes from places like Italy, Finland, East Asia, or Africa. Visit 23andme.com/twit. And by Capterra. Find software solutions for your business needs. Capterra is a free website with over 400 categories of business software and thousands of ratings and reviews from software users just like you. Visit capterra.com/twig today. It's time for Twig, This Week in Google, the show where we cover... Gosh, it's so hard to say. Just really anything we feel like it, mostly having to do with the internet and computers and technology. Jeff Jarvis is here. He's the professor of journalism. Wow, he's almost blue. Now from
the... I'm trying to do... This was working better for a while.
It doesn't matter. Somebody... I don't care. It's fine. Jeff is, for some reason, always confused cameras. I think he's like a vampire. He doesn't really exist.
I am. I also can't... Those sinks that require you to turn on, I can't do it.
Professor of journalism at the City University of New York. He is our esteemed colleague and expert in many things, author of what
we're going to do. Dead. And I'm a talking corpse.
He died in 1987, right after his appearance on that show. What was that show? Moonlighting. And no, it's always welcome to have him. And I'm thrilled to be back from France to say hello to Jeff and to also the wonderful Stacy Higginbotham of IoT, Stacy on IoT. That's her newsletter and of her IoT podcast. Hello, Stacy.
Hello.
Hey, Stacy.
So this was a really big day. We had a massive, very important announcement, a huge announcement from Sonos.
Oh, boy, you're going to start with that?
Actually, it's interesting because Sonos had to really think about this because both Apple and, it turns out, Google are coming straight at them along with Amazon. Sonos has promised for a year that they would put Alexa into a speaker. They did. They finally did. It's the Echo-powered Sonos One, which has a lot of interesting features. It knows where it is. It's a smart speaker. And they announced, which I'm very relieved to hear, that every Sonos speaker will now be Amazon enabled, because if you can connect a dot to the speaker, you'll be able to do things like play, you know, Yanni in the bedroom and things like that. They announced this a year ago, but they finally delivered. And we're happy, right, Stace?
I'm super happy. And you forgot like a huge deal. The biggest deal is the new Sonos One that will come out later this year is going to have both Amazon Echo and Google Assistant on it.
Oh, I didn't know that. They really highlighted the Echo. Oh, so it's going to have Assistant too.
Yeah, so there's a couple things. One, the first thing that we care about is if you have an existing Sonos, you will get
all of
Madam A on it today.
Yes.
So
today or whenever you get an update, you'll get an update soon.
I know. Where's my update? And then two, you'll get Apple AirPlay 2, Apple 2 AirPlay, Apple 2, whatever the order of operations there is. That'll come in 2018. And then the next big thing is they launched a speaker for $199 that's going to give you, hey, Google and Madam A. Sorry, I just set off people's Googles.
I like it, though, that I can connect my Dot. I have a few Dots lying around, as you know. I can connect my Dot to any of my Sonoses in my house. I have even more Sonoses, and that will echo enable all my Sonoses. To add, next year it'll add Google Assistant. To do that, I presume I'll have to add one of these Google devices to it.
No, you'll have to add a new Sonos. That's what they're saying.
You'll have to get the new Sonos One.
Yeah. Your old stuff supports Madam A and Apple AirPlay 2.
That's where I was
confused.
Your
new one will get those two.
Got it. All right. That's good news. Sonos One comes out October 24th. It's only $200. It's kind of like the Play One speaker. It's the simplest of their speakers. And really, clearly, its main purpose is to integrate into a larger Sonos system. So that is very good news, and they were smart to announce it early this morning, because then at 9 a.m. Pacific, Google just dumped a ton of new products on the world. And wow, I said at the time, as we were covering the event, Florence Ian and I were here in studio covering the event at the San Francisco Jazz Center, this is the largest product announcement I've seen from any company ever. Certainly from Google. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 new products. And arguably, the new phone was not even the biggest of these products. But let's start. Let's do it in, we'll walk through these in order. They started with the Google Home and the new Google Home Mini, which looks curiously like a donut.
But it weighs less than a chipmunk. Sorry.
How do you know that it weighs less than a chipmunk?
That was the ad they did. It's smaller than a donut, or it's about the size of a donut, and it weighs less than a chipmunk.
Especially the coral one. At some point, guaranteed, somebody's going to pick up the coral one and say, donut. But this is kind of like Amazon's Dot, except that Google's decided to put an actual speaker in it. So the Dot has a tinny little speaker, but this will have supposedly a better speaker. We don't know. We'll know.
What do you lose in the Dot versus the regular Home?
Well, it really come. Oh, it, with this instead of the bigger one.
I mean, Mini.
The Mini. The lose? Home Mini versus the Home. I don't think anything except the size of the speaker. The speaker regular Home is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine in something the size of a donut and the weight of a hamster that it will sound as good as the larger Home, but.
Squirrel. No, chipmunk. Chipmunk.
Hamster. Not hamster. There's a big difference. This will connect via Bluetooth, they said, to other speakers, though. So you could have it power a bigger stereo or a bigger Bluetooth speaker if you wanted more. And I know, Stacey, this was of interest to you. It will work not only with the newly elaborated Nest line. Nest announced a whole bunch of products last week, but will also work with Wemo, with Samsung's SmartThings, with Hue, TP-Link's Home. You liked that new TP-Link Home, I think, didn't you?
I have the outlets that are rectangular.
Yeah.
I like those.
It'll work with August door locks.
That's my thing.
You like the Augusts. So you will be able to say, hey, G-Lady, ask August if my door is locked. I don't know if you'll be able to unlock the door. That'd be kind of cool. If you could say, hey, let somebody in.
August lets you do it on Amazon Echo if you enter a passcode.
That's smart, because otherwise a burglar might shout through the window.
Hey, I can see. Let's see. Siri, unlock. Oh, wait. Siri, talk to me. Siri, unlock back door.
That's usually what I get with Siri. Here's what I found on the web. For unlock back door. I hate her. The Nest thermostats will work, but I presume it will. Nest now has a lot of security stuff in Nest.
They announced last week their security stuff. They also put Google Assistant on their indoor fancy cam. They call it the Nest Aware cam or Nest IQ cam.
I have one over my shoulder here because Lisa wouldn't let it be inside.
Lisa's a smart lady.
She said no cameras inside, which is ironic because last week Amazon announced an alarm clock for my bedside table that unaccountably has a camera in it.
Yeah, that thing is weird. Mm-hmm. I put it on my desk.
I ordered it. I have a home show on my desk from Google. I mean, Amazon. But
that's in my kitchen.
That little, what do they call it? The spot?
Spot.
Spot. really begs to be put on your bedside table, doesn't it?
I think that's what they wanted us to do, but who's going to stick a camera on their bedside table?
It seems dangerous.
I mean, it's weird to me that I have a speaker or a microphone, sorry, a microphone on my bedside table.
I have a dot. I have my dot on my bedside table because it's hooked up to speakers too. And it's really nice to ask for music. I love that. I think that's a great use. So that's the new Google Home Mini.
It's kind of the best looking of the bunch, I think.
I think it's very attractive. Again, even Google recognizes it looks a lot like a donut.
And do you order the colors or yes. Are those colors? So
there's gray, chalk, and coral. And you can also, there are new bases. You see, here's a nice copper base for the Google Home.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they have a whole bunch of new bases for the Google Home. Google, well done, Google, by the way. They were able to get this up and running on their store right away.
Yeah,
many
and
of these
I was
things
able
can
to
be.
Order something.
Yeah, I ordered a bunch of stuff without.
Remember the old days when we kept on hitting?
Yeah,
again and again and again and again, yeah. And then we were out.
One of the things that really became clear to me during this event is that we are now all three of the big players are doing ecosystem plays: Amazon, Apple, and Google.
Yeah, really good point.
Be in our ecosystem, really, and everything will work well. But no promises otherwise.
Yep.
Google seems to be pretty open in terms of the home automation stuff, but even then, it'll probably all work better with Nest, right?
It doesn't have to. So it's unclear if Google Home and all will have Weave, which is the device communications and discovery protocol that Google and Nest are both now doing. So if they have that, then things should work better. But I don't know if they're going to have that yet.
Yeah.
Or I don't know how. Well, how that's going to work. Guys.
Uh-oh.
It is very important.
What's that?
Google is doing pop-up stores with donuts. I love donuts. Who is making these donuts? That's actually, I have a very specific donut, like, love.
Are you a voodoo donut person?
No, because I cannot eat a 5-pound pastry. That is ridiculous.
But I'm willing to try. Google's New York City pop-up shop is now open at 96 Spring Street.
Oh.
Austin's is going to be the 21st of October on Rainy.
Run down there right now, Jeff Jarvis.
Ooh, sorry, I'm going
to
go.
Do the show from
there. You can get to SoHo. How long did it take you to get down there?
About 2.5 hours.
This is The Verge. I'm looking to see the donuts. The Made My Google pop-up shop, Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m.
And they're doing not only Manhattan, but also Brooklyn.
Oh.
It's a very large place.
Seems
San
unfair.
Francisco, October 4th
and
14th
to 15th. Are they really Krispy Kreme donuts?
Krispy Kreme donuts?
Hot damn, I'm going.
You had me at Krispy Kreme. Is that your brand?
That is one of my brands, yes.
Brand?
That's what I'm looking for, a sugary, light, fluffy donut that I can eat half a dozen of. Oh, Shipley's is my brand.
Don't
for
you
like
feel terrible?
Austin and it. Voodoo Donuts. It's different every city.
Voodoo.
Oh, dang it.
I love
Voodoo. October 21st and 22nd.
It's
San
actually,
Francisco and Johnny's Donuts.
See, to Manhattan me, this is all Brooklyn academic. Donut I haven't plant. Had a donut in years. Those things.
They should have done Howdy Donuts for Austin.
All that dieting donuts. You've been doing, Leo, it'll just go away. You have one donut, it'll be gone.
They call them sinkers for a reason.
I got the schedule on the rundown.
Nice.
Thanks, Jeff.
And I presume that you can go in there and you could, this is actually a good idea. You could try this stuff because there are lots of questions. For instance, Karsten Bondi, our producer, is wondering if those new Google headphones will do the translation thing, which is the coolest thing. We'll talk about that in a minute, with the old Pixel, or if you'll have to have a new Pixel for all the benefits of the Google earbuds. But I don't want to get
a lot of processing power. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's what I think. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Here, by the way, are the bases I mentioned. If you have a Google Home, as we all do, you can get coral.
How much do they cost for those?
Around $20 and black.
It's
and
just, not worth it.
Yeah, you just pop it in there, and it will complement your home decor if you happen to be coral, brown, or black.
Yeah, I think they think people are more attached to these things than they are.
Google really was big on fabric. In fact, they even brought out their industrial designer to go on and on about the fabric. Like how
yeah, I was I hate the fabric. I really do. I do not like it. I do not like it, Sam. I am. It gets gritty when I eat ham. No, I don't like the look. I want that copper base, but I don't really want to spend more money on a device that I'm like, eh.
I think this is Google saying, look, this isn't Skynet. This isn't a scary robot. This is a friendly little donut-sized gerbil weight fabric cupboard covered listening device in your house. So why would you ever be afraid of that? Come on.
It is unassuming.
Unassuming. Perfect word. That's the semiotics I was looking for.
Oh, he's in the fancy words today.
He is. My goodness. I should have taken
used my that
Adderall
one
or something.
Yeah.
Never mind that.
So moving right along, after they announced that, they talked about this. This is the Google Home Max premium audio to its assistant speaker, also fabric covered. Hard to tell from this image how big it is. It's not as big, not as monolithic as it looks. It's actually, I had to look really hard. It has four speakers, two tweeters. They call them subwoofers, mid-range, really. And I had to look hard. That isn't that big. It's a little. It's the size of a loaf of bread. Cost? I would say it's the size of a loaf of bread. $3.99.
That's expensive.
This is insanity. But you know what it is? Okay. The coolest thing that it does is Google calls it neural beamforming, which is a fancy way of saying, hey, it knows where it is in the room and it adapts its sound.
Smart sound.
But
yeah.
Smart sound. What struck me about this announcement was, what the heck has Sony and JBL and all these other companies been doing for the last decade as like machine learning has become much more accessible to people?
Well, even Sonos came this close to losing everything. Their announcement to this morning, even they would be out. And they're much more intelligent, much Sonos more internet connected than JBL or anybody else.
They did their tuning. So remember probably 2 or 3 years ago,
Odyssey or the other stereo tuning systems where you put out a microphone and it does all these sounds and then it tunes it up. The Apple HomePod and this new Google Max do it without doing it. I think they're not out till the end of the year.
I don't know what the HomePod does.
Yeah, we don't know it till the end of the year. But my sense is they just automatically kind of listen and sense it.
Leo, this thing is big. It is 13.2 inches by 7.4 inches by 6.0 inches, 11.7 pounds.
It's heavy, which it should be.
Speakers are usually heavy.
Heavy because of transformers, the big magnets in the speaker.
That's big.
It's a loaf of bread. Maybe a little bit bigger, but it's roughly a loaf of bread. When you say big in speakers, that's
stuff.
What we call a small bookshelf speaker.
How big is a Sonos?
It's bigger than that. The Play 5 is a little taller.
The Play 5 is actually wider, too.
And wider.
The Play 5 is, I think, like 16, maybe? I'm just looking at a Play 5 right now, and I'm like, it's wider. It's not. It's wider than 13 inches.
Really? Sure. If you could get it smaller with big sound, that would be better. So we'll just have to wait and hear what they sound like. They look fine. They look good. The good news.
Sounds amazing on the ad.
The thing that I'm really happy about, they support not just YouTube Music. Interesting, they mentioned YouTube Music. They didn't mention Google Play, but it does support that. And Pandora and Spotify. And so that is all very good news. Google is not saying it's just us. Also, iHeartRadio and TuneIn, so you can listen to us. TuneIn is what allows Amazon Echo users to listen to all of our stuff. You just ask for whatever you want on TuneIn. iHeartRadio is the radio show.
It lists Netflix. How is it Netflix?
That's because you can say play. Notice Stranger Things had a big role at this event for some reason. You could say, play Stranger Things on my living room TV. That'll require Chromecast. Okay.
Didn't Chromecast just add functionality? Didn't they just add, you can do new things with Chromecast?
Yeah.
Like Assistant?
Yeah, but it doesn't have a microphone. So in other words, they've talked about this at Google I.O.
Right.
They talked about this at Google I.O.
Hold on. They did show something cool. I think that was today. They showed show my front door from like my Nest Cam,
right,
and that would pop up on your Chromecast or pop up in your TV from your Chromecast.
They promised that again in June at the Google I/O. They promised that.
They did.
But they now, I guess, they will do that. This is, you know, as this forms, as long as they do everything they promise, which isn't a guarantee, this is a nice ecosystem. If you're all in on Google and you get Nest and you get assistance everywhere, you have a Pixel phone, you have a Chromecast enabled everything, your house will be pretty responsive to you. I mean,
so now Nest has doorbell, indoor camera, outdoor camera, indoor camera, yes.
And a security system, which they announced.
Security system and thermostat.
Yep.
Right.
And the smoke detectors.
Right, smoke detectors too, right. Or
don't forget the smoke detectors.
And the video doorbell. They're competing with Ring. They have something called the Nest Hello video doorbell. That's coming out next year.
Yeah.
But this is to get you into that whole, we're going to try to, they offered us Rick Osterloh, who's head of hardware at Google and took the stage this morning. Google sent me an email saying we'd like to get Rick on one of your shows. So we'll, I mentioned this show. I mentioned the three different venues. He wanted to be on Twit on the Sunday show. I said, that's actually not a good place for him because we won't have a chance to really talk to him. So yeah. I mentioned Twig, All About Android, our new Tech News Weekly, which is a newsmaker interview show, and the new Screensavers. And I'm just going to let Rick decide what he wants to do. But we will get him on.
No, you should tell him to come on this one.
It should be on this one because of you, Stacey. Because of the Internet of... No, because of the Internet of Things thing. Mm-hmm. But boy, this is Rick because
it is her middle name after all.
Stacey, Internet of Things Higginbotham. That's actually how I mentioned her. This is an ecosystem, and he's in charge of all hardware now, right? He's not just Nest. Mm-hmm. Nest, right? It's not just he came. He was at Motorola when Google acquired Motorola. He ushered the Moto X, and that's where I first met him. Nice guy, smart guy, and I think this is what he's been charged with: make this all work across the ecosystem. I like it. Do you think, Stacey, I should just throw everything out, all the smart things, all the Amazons, all the Sonoses, and just line the home with Google?
If you want to.
Follow me to the line.
You see the advantage, though, because there'll be one assistant. I'll learn the syntax of that assistant. Everything will work.
So I would say you should probably go all in on Google Homes, Google Assistant. So the Google Home devices as opposed to the Echo.
Because it's confusing.
Because their home ecosystem. Yeah. It is confusing, and their home ecosystem is much better.
Wow. That's a big deal.
And well, but they don't have anything like the Echo Show.
They don't.
Of course, my TV can... I tried it yesterday. You know, I have an NVIDIA Shield, which they just updated to version 6. It has Assistant. So I pressed my Shield remote, and I said, what's the weather going to be like this weekend? It turned on my stereo receiver, my AV receiver. Turn on the Shield, turn on my stereo receiver, turn on my TV, and displayed the weather and said it's going to be 78 degrees and sunny.
How long did that take?
Or you could have opened the damn window.
It took a long damn time. But if your TV were already on, because it had to do a lot of, but it did it. That's what's interesting, using CEC and all that.
No, that is, so I probably wouldn't go all in on the smart home devices with Nest, to be honest. I find them very expensive for what they are.
I like my Ring stuff. See, this is the problem. I've invested a lot in Ring. I've invested a lot
in Echo.
So Ring
is going to come to Google.
Right. Ring and Google, they already did announce will work
together. So, okay. And then, you know.
I am not ever putting an automatic lock on my door. That seems like a recipe for disaster.
Okay.
Do you use August locks on your front door?
My front doors are weird. They're multi-point locks. So I have an August lock on my back door, and I have a...
Don't you worry that somebody could hack your back door?
You know what? Beforehand, if you wanted to kick my door in at the back door,
locks are just a suggestion. They're just an indicator that please don't come in here. Because really...
And I had a couple years ago when I had those hacker people come to my house and hack my house after I gave them my Wi-Fi password. They had locked and unlocked my back door, and I was kind of like, not so freaky. I don't know.
Because you make an excellent point. You break the window and open it, or you kick the door in. locks have never really been fully secure unless you have a metal door and a, I mean, you'd have to really do a lot of structural stuff to keep it complete. Really,
can you see my dog? Look at her. She's, can you, I guess you can't see her. She's all on her back.
Yes, we can.
Okay.
She's by the door.
That's all.
Lean over to the left again.
There's a sweetie.
Is she alive?
Yeah, that's what she does.
She just does that. Is she hoping that you'll go over and scratch her?
No, she does. She gets it. That's just how she likes to lick.
It's more comfortable that way?
I don't know.
Hello, is that comfy, Sophie?
Are you sure she's not dead? Correct.
Yeah, you sure she's with us?
She blinked.
She's catatonic.
Okay. So what's her name?
Sorry,
Sophie?
Dog joke. She's dogatonic.
Sophie on her back. That's the name of the show. All right. So the Max, the Mini, the Home. Now we get
to something.
Anything
new with the Home, did they? Just the color of things? There's nothing,
yeah,
there's
no,
not
there's
a new
nothing
home,
new. The Mini is the Mini Home, and the Max is the Maximum Home.
Good.
But they're all home devices, which is interesting. That's really, that is now a product line. I think that's a good way to think of it. They've got
I'm
the
almost
Mini,
surprised they didn't include the Nest stuff here on the Google store page. Just go ahead and integrate it. Australia's in charge. The fact that they keep Nest separate is kind of silly to me.
Can't you go to Home? Let me see if I go to Home and Entertainment. Can't you get Nest? Yeah, you can get Nest stuffed here.
Not you do? Always. Okay. I see.
So it's in the Home and Entertainment. And in fact, on that page, this is the lineup. Google Mini, Google Home, Google Max, Google Wi-Fi, Chromecast Ultra, Chromecast, Chromecast Audio, Nest Thermostat, Nest Protect, Nest Cam IQ, Nest Cam Indoor, Nest Cam Outdoor. So it really is the full range.
Does having Google Wi-Fi in any way help?
I don't think so. In fact, I do not particularly like Google Wi-Fi. I think there are other better mesh systems. We use Plume and Eero. I think the Orbeez are better.
I was surprised that Google said it was the number one selling mesh Wi-Fi system.
I was too, and I didn't really dig deeply into that.
Kevin and I were IMing back and forth, and I was like, really? He's like, it's available at retail stores, and it has the Google brand name. He has one, and he likes it,
It's adequate. There's nothing wrong with it.
I like it.
You use it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy five of them and compare them.
I don't. Yeah, that's what I did, and that's why I ended up with your own Plume. But I feel like it. I don't think there's any reason that you need it. They didn't make any case for that. It's just another one product. But if there is, I'd love to hear about it, and we'll ask Rick that. That's one of the things we can ask Rick. So now we get to the thing that. Let's take a break, and then when we do, we're going to get to the thing that Jeff is most interested in.
Yes,
Jeff. Oh, Jeff, you're a good color now.
Oh, hey.
I did some more adjustments.
You got some color in your face.
Nice.
You got a quick tan.
I'm the president.
Oh, you a little spray orange?
Yeah, a little spray.
Yeah, that's good. That does. It's amazing.
Jeff, you're warm and I'm cool, so it balances out.
Well, it's true, too.
You wouldn't think going to France you'd get a tan, but I think I did actually get a little color.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was in Provence. It's sunny down there. We experienced the Mistral, the famous wind that drove Van Gogh crazy.
And
I understand why. It went for 3 days. It's just constant, strong wind. It's extremely annoying. but then it just stopped one day, and everything was, the skies were blue and clear, and it was beautiful the rest of the time. And I was actually really glad. We walked in Vincent's footsteps, went to where his little yellow house was. We had a drink in the night cafe that he painted, with the pool table and stuff. We had a cup of coffee there. Our guide said, it's fine to have a drink there. Don't eat there. It's still there. It's painted yellow still. We went to the asylum where he ended his days. And everywhere in Arles and Avignon that they do that, they have his paintings positioned on a outside where they were painted, so you could say, "Oh yeah, there's the mountain." Oh yeah, it's really. I was actually kind of moved. It was really beautiful. Really was glad to be able to do that. Actually, how did I get on that? I'm sorry. I apologize. That was a digression. Which
my fault. It was my fault. It was something about you going in France and the color of your skin.
Yeah, it was my fault. Cheesy,
I brought it up.
We're doing an ad. Sorry.
I brought it up. My friends, our show today is brought to you quite literally by Sonic. We actually have the best internet connection in the world here. Well, at least I feel pretty good about it. 10 gigabit symmetric internet fiber from Sonic, the best internet provider in the country. I hate doing these ads because most of you can't get Sonic. But if you're in the North Bay or if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, please do yourself a favor and get Sonic. Sonic's mission is to bring internet freedom to all with unlimited, uncapped internet from a provider that stands up for you. Sonic delivers residential and business fiber to the premise networks, gigabit connectivity. Let's look at what you get. You get a gigabit down. You get 15 email accounts, a gigabyte of storage. You get personal web hosting. You get a new domain. You get fax line service. You get a home phone connection that's really a home landline phone with unlimited local and long distance calling. It's easy to switch to port your number over from your current carrier so you won't even lose your phone number. And you get all of that for $40 a month. And what I love about it, and the reason I want to tell you about it, is because this is placing a drawing a line in the sand and saying you can do this. What those big cable companies and phone companies are charging you is outrageous. You can get a gigabit for $40 a month, sonic.com/twitch. And they have no bandwidth caps. If you go look at the EFF ISP rating card, green checks across the board. They stand up to government requests. They do everything right. They stand up for privacy. They have friendly and local customer support, uncapped bandwidth, affordable pricing, and they make a living. It's a profitable, successful company, and this just puts the lie to everything else those other guys are telling you. Get the best. Go to sonic.com/twit and join the internet revolution. Receive your first month of Sonic internet and phone service free, plus bundle it with Dish. Get the TV too, and you'll save $120 on your Sonic bill. Sonic.com/twit. Thank you, Sonic, and thank you for gigabit. 10 gigabit. By the way, nothing in this building can use 10 gigabits. The best we can do is a gigabit, but I love it. I mean, all my devices are gigabit, and we use, it's not just me. We have all, everybody's uploading, and editors are working, and no slowdowns at all. It's just marvelous. I just
$40, how do they do that?
Well, I interviewed Dane Jasper, the founder and CEO. He's actually an old friend. I've known him for years. His license plate says Linux. I love that. And he said, no, we make money. If we get one in five in a neighborhood, one in five of the people who live in the neighborhood to subscribe, we make money.
I want it. Come to New Jersey.
I know. Come well, I do think that Dane's ambition is to slowly roll it out across the United States. He really has wanted
that's,
to do that.
That's been his ambition for like 7 years, though.
Yeah, it's hard
I'm
to do.
I'm still waiting.
I know.
I mean, it's tough. Very expensive. In addition to capital costs, like a lot of Dane has similar capital costs, but he doesn't have unionized workers. And if you look at the infrastructure behind Comcast or Verizon, his company is much smaller
right.
from that perspective. And then a lack of union workers helps and pensioned workers. So less so Comcast, but the older telcos, God, they just
still.
They still have people on pensions.
Really?
My father-in-law is on AT&T pension.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, actually, that's the blight of a lot of old companies, including all our car companies, is
right.
they
well,
have
I
this
mean, that,
huge number of people who are pensioned.
That is a lot. But anyway.
It's okay. A promise they made. They got to do it. And you see sometimes companies not, and I think that's really criminal. In fact, a lot of public groups... You know,
well, they don't have the funds.
They can't.
I mean,
firefighters,
yeah,
police, they can't. And then they stop. And it's, I think it's, that's a breach of promise. It's sad. Anyway.
We are not going to solve pension problems today. That is true. Let's
talk about remember pixels. When my friend Drew Curtis was running for governor of Kentucky, the guy from FARC, he said, this is the crisis that is unacknowledged that Kentucky is going to face. They have pension obligations they cannot meet this year without going bankrupt. And mm-hmm. this is the problem. And none of the other candidates would even mention it. Your family's home.
It's either, it might be.
Or Sophie. Yeah, no, she's barking at the door. Sophie said, yep, see, I hear Andrew.
Yep. There's my family is home.
Family's home.
Oh, good. I was saved from the boredom of being with mom. I was catatonic, dogatonic on the floor. I can't wait to your home. Oh, thank goodness. Let me out of here. Why did they trap me in here?
She's so cute. Because Jeff Jarvis made her.
Yeah. Jeff is mean.
Tell me again what breed she is.
She's a mutt.
She's a mutt. She's really sweet.
We rescued her.
She's exactly the size Lisa wants. Lisa wants to get another dog, and that's exactly.
Would she like mine?
Size. Yeah, we'll take Sophie. She's sweet. You love Sophie. Yeah, Don't say that. She's also a beautiful color.
She's nice. She's stubborn and she's loud. Like me. Oh, hey.
I told her we can get a dog if it's 10 years old. I want an older dog.
Get the pet insurance this time.
So Jeff was waiting. Jeff loves his Pixel, waiting. His Chromebook.
I do indeed. I'm my hands on my Pixel right now. I have three Pixels.
It's superannuated. There's another great word. It's,
boy, you are just Dr. Vocabulary today.
We're going to need a glossary for the show.
Superannuated is a fancy way of saying old. But it's a nice, I like the word superannuated.
It's a good word.
Yours is you like me. You have you have the first generation. No, that's Jason.
I have
Howell.
First and second. I have two seconds and a first.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
One of the reasons we all bought Chromebook Pixels is because it had i5 Intel processors. It had lots of RAM, but they weren't cheap, and they're not cheap this time. This is the new Chrome Pixelbook from Google, and I think Google might have overpriced this once again. $999 for the base unit. It is a convertible. That means you can use it as a laptop. You can fold over the screen and use it as a tablet. You can tent it. They do now offer a pen, and we'll talk about that. That's a separate $100 add-on. It is a 12.3-inch screen, and it's the first laptop with Google Assistant built in, to the point that it has a Google Assistant button. Although when it's folded over, it will listen for, the okay, you know who. So if you don't want to talk to it, you can press the button and type to it. I like seeing this because it feels like Google Assistant is now the future of voice for Google, right? They're just going to kind of make this be everywhere. It does support Android, and they mentioned, I was glad to see that Adobe, who was it? Snapchat was going to make a special Android Play Store version of Snapchat for the Pixel that would use the full screen.
Ooh.
10.3 millimeter thick, very, very thin, all aluminum unibody.
2.4 pounds.
Yep, just a kilogram. So this is pretty sweet until you get to the price. $999 gets you a i5 with 8 gigs of RAM and a 128 gig hard drive. $200 more, you get double the size of the hard drive. That's all. I'm kind of regretting paying that now because who needs a big hard drive in a Chromebook?
If you're going to use it to, I know, same here. If you're going to use it to, I use Google Play to watch all my shows.
Most so you download them?
And I use Netflix, and I use Amazon. And so I download a lot onto my Pixel C.
But even then, 128 gigs would probably be enough, I would guess.
That's a lot. I mean, you'd have to be kind of diligent about clicking things off. But
yeah. Then if you really think, $1,000 isn't enough, I want to spend $1,700. You could put an i7 in here, 16 gigs of RAM. I wish the middle one had 16 gigs of RAM.
Same here. That's the one thing that piss me off. That pisses me off. I want 16 gigs.
And 512 gigabyte, but you can't get that right now.
Remember the old days when you could actually just add memory? Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Even I'm old enough to.
But those were not 10 millimeter thick machines.
No, they were not.
Just looking at the pictures, Type-C connectors as before on the left and the right. That's handy because you can charge it on either side. It has a...
stay on that picture for a second.
On-off button here. What is this button? A volume, maybe?
No, let's get
and then a headphone jack. I don't know. This is a longer button here.
So on that picture, Leo?
Yeah.
That's what fooled the...
what is this thing?
Rumors. That's just a shadow.
I know. It made me nuts.
And the thought was that the keyboard was going to slide underneath.
Pixel C
style. One thing
style.
I don't like about this is in tablet mode, I know I'm going to knock keys off. I did that originally with one of the another machine I had, and the flip around 180, I don't like much.
I have Lenovo convertible. This technology, despite what Google calls it, they call it a 4-in-1. Isn't called 4-in-1 in general. It's called convertible. And I have a convertible Lenovo X1 Yoga, and it retracts the keys as you flip it over.
Yeah.
So
see, that's what I want.
But the negative on that is it means that the hinge is a little creaky because you have to do more with it. It's physically retracting the keys.
Or the Microsoft model, or, I mean, there's lots of different models, but my least favorite is that.
They're going to sell this in Best Buy. I think somebody goes into Best Buy, they look at this, they go, that's really nice. How much? $9.99. Well, wait a minute. That Asus is $4.99. It's the same, right? Yeah, pretty much.
Same thing with the Chrome. They sold the Pixel in Best Buy for a month, and obviously
nobody's going to buy it.
They had staff there.
The only people who are going to buy this is you and me.
Yeah.
I already
pretty
did.
Pretty much. Now I'm getting buyer's remorse that I should have gotten the 128.
Me too. When, you know, if only they'd put 16,
that'd make it so
in
much
the middle
more
one. That would be the right. Then that'd be the sweet spot.
Yep.
The pen is not unlike the Samsung Chromebook Plus or Pro, where the pen is thinner and smaller and embedded. You know, has a little slot. The pen is just a standalone pen.
The pen isn't even losable.
It isn't even like the Microsoft pen, which has a magnet. I don't think has a magnet on the side, so you don't lose it. It's just a. It's like you're going to put it in your pocket pen. But the good news about the pen is it is a Wacom style. It is from Wacom, the screen and the pen.
Wacom or Wacom? I've never known.
They said Wacom.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Wacom. But they said Wacom.
What, Stacey?
Stacey yawning?
No. She.
No. My Sonos is updating.
Bye. Oh.
Ooh. Oh, back in Sonos, you too.
So
oh,
jealous.
Jesus.
So jealous. I'm going to go home. I want to go home right now.
I've been checking throughout the show. I'm like, come on.
I go home right now. You don't have Sonos? I'm surprised, Jeff. I thought you would.
No.
All the smart kids do.
Because it was so, when it came out, it was so damned expensive.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's ridiculous. And then one way, that's why I'm thrilled that Sonos finally just did something right. Because it was starting to look like I was going to have to sell my Sonos stuff and buy all Apple HomePods or now that they Home Max from Google, maybe all of those. Solid state NVMe drive means a very fast drive. Having a seventh generation Intel processor, even in the i5 is plenty. That's really fast. Lots of RAM.
Okay.
That's good. This will be the best Chromebook, but you will pay the premium price for this thing. The pen has 2,000 levels of pressure. This is just what you want, frankly. And they say 10 hours of battery use. The Pixel had excellent battery life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to count on that.
What I don't know is going to happen. So I just need to have the best Chromebook because that's what I live on.
Right.
What I don't know is whether I'm going to travel with it. Number one, because I don't know, but it's bigger. I like my Pixel, but I, you know, if I'm on the subway and I want to turn over and watch something that versus the Pixel C, I think the Pixel C is better or plain even. I don't want to ruin the keys. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll be whining about this for a few weeks after
here's the pen. It's the only pen that works with the Google Assistant. They demoed that. I thought that was cool. You circle a word, it'll give you the definition. The assistant goes, oh, you want to know what that is? It'll give you the definition. You circle a face, it will look that person up with Google Image Search, which is very cool. Pressure sensitive, tilt support. They say virtually no lag. That's always an issue with artists. Both Apple especially on the iPad Pro and with their Pencil, and Microsoft with its Surface Pencil, they've done a very good job of making it almost very close to really drawing. And that's really what artists want. When you draw, it feels like that's ink coming out of the pen. We'll see if Google can do that. That's one of the reasons, though, that you want to put a fast processor and lots of RAM in there.
It says edge-to-edge trackpad. What does that mean?
They say they're doing a better trackpad. We'll see. I don't know. Because the trackpad's not traditionally very good on Chromebooks. By the way, the pen uses a replaceable quadruple A battery. It's not rechargeable. Just
a quadruple A battery?
Yeah, they were like triple A's, only smaller.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes
sense. It's a I don't know, how do you say it? 4A's? A battery.
Yes, I don't know how common? I would say it. I've never
it's not common,
these.
But it's widely available.
Is it common for a laptop to have a gyroscope and a magnetometer?
No, not to my knowledge.
Why would they have that?
Because of Android apps. The Android apps expect the features of an Android phone.
Okay. Yes.
And one of them, of course, a gyroscope is so you know the position of it. The magnetometer, well, that's a compass, right?
Yes.
So it would be for nav, I guess. It doesn't have a GPS, though.
It also doesn't have LTE, which disappoints me regularly.
Well,
it does have automatic.
But they did the right thing. But you have to have a Pixel. If you are using a Pixel, it senses it, it knows it, and will automatically put the Pixel in hotspot mode and connect through the
Pixel. And you have to have a Pixel that's not on an AT&T grandfathered account that won't let you tether. I said whining. I'm whining. I know.
Yeah, you should be on Google Fi.
Yeah.
All Windows Ultrabooks have gyros for rotation. That's where you have the gyros.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. So right. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. So when you that makes sense. So when you rotate it, it knows which way's up. That makes sense. I don't know what the magnetometer is for. I would guess it's a compass.
Oh, here. Oh, don't guess. We'll Google.
Why guess? Don't guess. We'll
it's
Google.
A big word, Leo. You should just know it.
Well, I know what it is.
Magnetometer. instrument that measures magnetism. So
thank
a
you. It's a compass.
Compass.
Yes.
What does it do?
No, that's the question is what more does, why would you have?
They're used in the military to detect submarines. Probably not.
You can detect submarines with your Chromebook Pixel or your Pixel right. Book Chrome. Or
it uses, okay, here we go. It creates a miniature Hall effect sensor that detects the Earth's magnetic field along three perpendicular axes, and it produces
AKA a compass.
Right, I know. Hold on.
Well, a compass only needs one axis.
It's crucial for detecting the orientation of your device relative to the Earth's magnetic north. So the gyro and the magnetic work together.
It's about orientation
for tilt.
Somehow. Yeah.
Device precipitation.
I think this will be a beautiful. This is why Google does the Pixel in general. The Pixel Books is to show what can be done with Chrome OS.
Well, they finally have that mid-range machine that we wanted in the $500 Samsung convertible.
I like the Samsung. I bought a couple of those.
So we wanted that from the beginning.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how I feel it is misleading of Google to keep? They called it a laptop so many times during this thing. And it is not a laptop. It is a Chromebook.
But it is not accidental to call it a laptop. They're really trying to emphasize that a Chromebook is a laptop.
Yeah.
But it's not. I can't do things like run my Audacity program.
Stacy, it can do 99% of what you need.
Okay, I spend like 10 hours a week on Audacity.
Programming, no.
Try Ophonic.
You can't do.
So try the Android app Ophonic. And see, I mean, there are Android and Chrome extensions that will allow you to do some of the things. I agree with you. I mean, the main reason I still use an all-purpose laptop is because I want to do photos, right? Photo editing.
Yeah,
and there's Polar and there's stuff, but it's not quite.
It's priced like a
laptop.
Quite
there. I agree with that.
But that's my big point. That's exactly my point. You go in the store and you're going to see even Windows laptops are $500. You're going to see all these things in the $500 to $800 range. And then $999 and all it is Chrome OS. I think it's going to confuse people. But if you are all in, if you get Chromebooks, you'll love it. But the real market for Chromebooks is schools and businesses that don't want to spend a lot of money. They want something simple to manage. They don't want any viruses. That isn't somebody who's going to spend $1,000 or more on a laptop or a Chromebook, I don't think.
Right. I'm so with you. I look at this thing and I'm like, some people might even buy it and be pissed when they figure out the limitations.
That's the only risk. I don't think Google cares if they sell a lot. They know they're not going to sell a lot.
Stacey, I also know people who just say, thank goodness, all the hassle is gone.
Yeah.
New OSs, installing crap, all this stuff. It depends on how you're using a machine.
Right. Most people aren't doing podcasts and editing audio.
Most people are doing Microsoft Office stuff, right? So this is the equivalent of
I'll
that.
I'll give you an example. When I get up and I have breakfast and there's I open up a laptop, but all I ever really do is I do my news beat checks. I surf all the news sites, answer email, see what's been going on. Maybe look at a YouTube video. That is all possible on a Chromebook. A Chromebook is my breakfast laptop. It is not my work laptop where I have to get something done. It's not my photo editing laptop. But for most people, if they're not doing, podcasts or editing photos.
But why would they spend that kind of money? You could buy an iPad.
Because Stacey, the speed matters. Especially before there was a $500 Chromebook. If you had a $200, $300 Chromebook, it was not capable of having tons of tabs open. It wouldn't work well. But this machine, it works incredibly well. I've been on Pixels since they started. So it's been 2.5 years, 3 years.
I had with Sundar Pichai when the first CR48 black Chromebook came out. Yep. I said, Sundar, I don't understand why anybody would buy this when you could get a full computer for the same price.
Snobs. This is also, Stacey, I'd argue this. For the post-computer world where all you have is a phone, this makes a lot of sense.
Okay, the post-computer world better not rely solely on me looking at my phone. The post-computer world we're finally getting to, and it's going to be things like my computers. You see, actually, Google did such a great job showing this off. It's things like, show me this, and it pops up on a screen that's useful. Or circle something with my pen on my exorbitantly expensive, not laptop, and tell me the information I need. So I see what you're saying. I feel like the marketing around it is not good. The marketing, calling it a laptop when it's not a laptop, and then pricing a Chromebook so high just feels
snob.
And a lot
snob.
Of
it's a laptop.
I'm not a snob. I have programs I need to run, man. And I think about like my daughter who does video editing for fun and giggles because she's a tween girl. And
she's gonna have Snapchat on her new Chromebook.
Oh Lord. Oh, Lord.
And by the way, you get Snaps. Once you get Android, you get Photoshop. Lightroom Mobile. You get Snapseed. You get plenty of great tools in Android. Mm-hmm. And if companies like Adobe and Snap decide, see that this is a form factor that we're going to want to support, they'll make their software automatically fill the screen. They'll use it. And that's exactly what Google said on the stage. Snap is going to make Snapchat for the Pixel Book. That's
what's going to cause
complaint. Are we worried about fragmentation?
No, this is
with stuff like that. I mean,
this is inherently part of fragmentation. With Android? No, there's no fragmentation. Well, what are you talking? Well,
I'm like, my God! Now you're going to have two different apps: one for the phone form factor, one for the.
They already have.
Well, yes, that is an issue, Stacey. And where it's most awkward now is when let's say I'm on the Washington Post and I want to tweet an article there, and I hit the Twitter. It opens up, and I want it to just go to the web Twitter situation.
Oh, but it
opens
up
the Android app. Opens up the Android Twitter app, and it doesn't work well.
Yeah,
so I have to close that. And I still can't find where I take off those defaults of going to the Android app instead of to the web, which is what I want. I live in fear of clicking always and never being able to go back on things that I care about.
That's in fear very awkward of clicking. It's my web story right there. I'm with you though. I agree. I hate how it defaults to, why aren't you using the app? I'm like, shut up. If I wanted to use the app.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. App. And it pushes that too much. So that's still very awkward. That's not great. And so it's not ready for saying, oh, but all the Androids on there, it doesn't work perfectly yet. And I don't know that it ever will. We'll see.
Look what Google highlights for apps when on their page. Here, this is on the store page for the. They show all the Android apps in productivity. For creativity, AutoCAD, Infinite Painter, Jamboard, Lightroom, Sketchbook. It's interesting they don't mention Snapseed. For entertainment, Google Play Music, Instagram, Netflix, YouTube. It's no accident they made a big deal about Netflix because that brings movies to your Chromebook. And works with Pixelbook Pen. Only two programs so far, Sketchbook and Squid. But the two is enough. I mean, it's, you know, it'd be nice to have more. Certainly the iPad
has many. I want some note-taking. Those aren't note-taking ones. I want
pen. They talked about that as a use case, so I imagine there will be. I would. Yes. I am. You know what? Both Jeff and I will be using these, Stacy, and we'll get back to you. I agree.
Thank
I think
you.
The price is on the biggest negative. The price,
but it's the same. Yeah. It was exactly the same for the last Chromebook.
It's no different. Pixel. Yep. And I don't think they sold a lot of Chromebook Pixels, to be honest.
No, they didn't, and I don't think they
but
care.
But the people
about
who
that.
Have them love them and are devoted to them, and
Stacey's
are much
absolutely
relieved.
Right. This in Best Buy, this ain't going to sell at all.
All right, let's take a break, come back. We'll talk about the phones. And kind of a surprise. Most of this, the rumor mill was very right on about. But they missed sort of missed. They mentioned that they thought there would be some earbuds, but they missed some of the critical features on the new earbuds. And they did completely miss the camera. Because
what did they?
Why would Google make a standalone camera?
Oh, I have a reason for that. So
good.
You're going to love it.
I can't
Stay
wait.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Because that's coming up on This Week in Google with Stacey Higginbotham from StaceyOnIoT.com, Jeff Jarvis from BuzzMachine.com. Our show today brought to you by 23andMe. Love these guys. I did 23andMe way back when they first started. Started by Susan Wojcicki, Esther Wojcicki. One of the Wojcickis.
No, by...
Ann Wojcicki. So Esther's the mom.
Yes.
And her relationship with Google was she rented a garage to Sergey and Larry in the early days of Google.
And Ann Wojcicki was married to Larry Page.
And Ann fell in love with Larry. They got married. The other daughter, Susan, runs YouTube. So this is part all in the family. But Ann started this, 23andMe, and I love it.
Well, my whole family is doing it now.
Brilliant family.
It's spread. I couldn't get it when it first came out and I got it. They said that I was a little nutty. Now they are fascinated with the data.
Well,
and
that's what's cool about it.
Into a tube.
Once you do it. Yeah. So that's important to mention. Some people might say, well, I don't know. What do I have to do? Go to a lab? Do I have to give blood?
Easy.
No. It couldn't be easier. They do this all from your saliva. You spit. The only hard thing is you have to get enough spit.
It's a lot of spit.
It's not that much.
My father did it, and he didn't do enough spit the first time, so they sent him a free kit to do the spit
again. Oh, that's cute. Yeah, you really have to kind of work up the saliva, because that's but there's the I guess your DNA is in there, right? So once you do this, in a couple of weeks, they'll say, okay, your stuff is up. And what I love about this, I did this years ago, but I have all of the benefits, because as they've learned more over time, they add more and more to my reports. So I now have 100-plus archived reports. I have wellness reports, traits, ancestry, DNA, relatives. That's really fun. That is a really fun one. They found a second cousin on my grandma's side that I never knew about. I just love this. You can find out, here's some of my relatives, right? And it's based on they're doing it and you're doing it. You have to give permission, okay? So don't worry about somebody finding you that you don't want to find you. But if everybody gives permission, then it'll pinpoint some relatives, which is really key. Also, if your relatives or family does it like Jeff's, you can compare yourself to those people. Maybe you'll find out that your mom isn't your mom. Who knows? So they did. Actually, I shouldn't use that as an example, but you know what I'm saying here. You can find out stuff. I love the ancestry reports. I am 4% Neanderthal. That's a good example of something that they didn't know about until recently. About 5 years ago, they, for the first time ever, were able to analyze Neanderthal DNA. They found some old bones. And for a long time, there was a debate among scientists whether we are intermingled with Neanderthals or whether Homo sapiens could not interbreed and just killed them off. We now know, thanks to those bones a few years ago, that they did intermingle, and we knew what the traits are. And so this was a report that when I first did 23andMe, they couldn't have given me, but they did now. I am in 7th place out of my family and friends. A lot of my family and friends have more Neanderthal than I do, but I have 4%, a little less than 4% of my genetic material comes from Neanderthals. Isn't that fascinating? You can find out what part of the country your people came from, kind of the world your people came from, and when. You can follow your maternal or paternal haplogroup as they migrate. So 180,000 years ago, my maternal haplogroup, L, was down here in kind of central eastern Africa, migrated north across into the Middle East and from there into Europe. Isn't that cool? This is just amazing. This is the kind of stuff. Now, you do this with your family and your kids. Think about what they're going to learn. I'm related to the Cheddar Man. They're going to learn about, first of all, everybody's fascinated by stuff, right? They're all by themselves, right? So they're going to get naturally engaged in this, but they're going to learn so much about genetics and DNA, the thing that's going to really change our world. You can even get access to the raw data. So this is, I can actually search for specific markers and chromosomes. 23andMe. This is very reasonable considering what you get. Go to 23andme.com/twit right now. And can I suggest this as a gift for family members? This would be...
It really works. Oh, it works.
They're going to love
it. My daughter was so delighted that she's only 49.9% me. She's the majority of her mother's DNA. It's made her very
that's
happy.
Well, that's the kind of thing that's really cool, isn't it? Like, how my kids always are asking, how much of me is you and how much of me is mom? And
yeah,
you can now find... Well, let's find out. 23andme.com/twit. Discover where you come from, who your people are. So much fun. Really love doing this. All right, let's get to the phones. Unfortunately.
Are you going to take calls? That's a good idea.
Let's go to the phones. Joe in New Jersey, you're on. It's fun. You know, I do that on the radio show. I love taking calls. I wish we could take calls. When we first started with some of these shows, we tried different platforms like
Talkshoe. Kevin built one for us on the IoT podcast, and he posted a how-to on the website.
Do you take live calls during the show?
No, what we do is you send it to us, we record it, and then, or you leave a message.
You do the Twilio thing.
Yeah, it's a Twilio with a Raspberry Pi.
So
but it's awesome.
What we used to
do. With a double twist.
No, that's fun. But what we used to do is actually take live calls.
Oh.
That's an interesting. Someday I might.
It would be fun.
If I,
it would be fun try again.
You know what? Yeah. Maybe we should. We could like make once a quarter or once a month do a live call in. I think that'd be fun. I know you guys would love it. Our audience would love it. So, Pixel 2. Everything we thought was going to happen did. No headphone jack. Sigh. No wireless charging. Sigh. Somewhat waterproof. It's IP67. That's really water resistant. Sigh. However, the things that people really love Pixel phones for are here. For instance, it's the most secure Android phone because Google keeps it up to date. That's great. It's really got great integrated support for Google Assistant. It's a simple, clean design. I'm really glad the XL, the large version, is almost bezel-less, but not fully. And the reason it's not fully is they have front-facing speakers, top and bottom, stereo speakers. Thank you. Really like that. One lens.
Oh.
Go ahead. Yes, Stacey.
No, I was going to say, I was like, somebody I just talked to doesn't use a Sonos or anything. They use their smartphone speaker.
Right.
And I realized it was Matt Cutts from last week.
Right. But you have to have a good smartphone speaker, and this is the way to do it. This is
the phone for Matt.
This is the HTC DNA. This is the boom sound DNA. HTC started this with the M1, and that really was sounded great. I really liked the front-facing speakers. Nobody else does this. In fact, you know, Apple has one cheesy speaker. Samsung has one cheesy speaker off the side, and it's really nice to have front-facing stereo speakers, especially if you ever watch video, which I don't, but. It sounds better. I don't, you know, we'll see if it sounds as good as a regular speaker. Probably doesn't. We, you know, all the flagship phones these days have dual lenses. Apple started it with, actually, I think LG started it, but Apple was the first really well-known flagship to have a wide and a telephoto. And they can do a lot of things, portrait mode and so forth. But Google was at great pains to say, we don't need two lenses. We need one lens and lots of computational power. And they can do portrait mode. They don't use both. They don't need both lenses. What they do with this camera is they take a lot of images. and they change, I guess, the focal length and the lighting, and then they optimize by mixing images. And that makes sense. You're doing this so fast. Why do you have to have two lenses? You could do it all with one lens. One lens optically image stabilized, f1.8, so it's fairly fast. Not the fastest out there, but fairly fast. And DxO Mark, Google was very happy to say, gave it a 98, the highest score they've ever given.
Take that, Apple fan.
Yeah, it's funny because...
Didn't the Apple get like a 95?
94. Yesterday, 94, the iPhone 8 and the Note 8 both were touting that they got 94. They tied. And I feel like this was a setup because the next day Google says, oh, yeah, well, we got a 98. But it's, you know...
Is there a 101 or is it stop at 100?
I think it must go past 100.
I would guess so, yeah.
I mean, we're so close to 100. I don't know. Does that mean it's perfect? No, there must be a way to go.
Wait, what is the scale?
But we don't know.
Not what is the scale. Just what is this measuring?
It's DxO Mark. They are independent third party. They've done this for years. They make software. So they have a business selling software. But they've been for a long time reviewing not just camera phones, but all sensors and all cameras. The Pixel is the highest mobile, but it's got a score as high as the Sony a7 R2, which is, you know, easily one of the best DSLRs out there. It's not an SLR, it's a mirrorless. So I don't know if those are comparable. I don't know what the scale is. They do lens ratings as well on a different scale. And I would say they're reliable, they're trustworthy, but I wouldn't say it's that meaningful. I mean, look at the Google Pixel. Last year's Pixel was 90. The iPhone 7 Plus was 88. The iPhone 8 Plus is 94. And now the Google Pixel 2 is 98. How much better is that? Maybe a little bit, a scooch better? I don't know. I think the
smidge.
The truth is, if you're getting a flagship phone these days, even like an LG V30, you're getting a really excellent camera. And some do, like they say, the Note 8 is the best smartphone if you want to zoom. It's funny because the iPhone 8 Plus, when it was reviewed, said the best smartphone camera we've ever tested, but that was all the way back in September. So
what do you so I have my Pixel XL. Love my Pixel XL.
Oh, you should definitely upgrade.
Real okay, so tell me why. You always cost me money, Leo.
I think the biggest thing is that when the Pixel came out, it was a rush job. Everybody agreed that Google had to kind of make some compromises to get it out the door. This is my Pixel XL, and I love this. Right, it's a great phone. Mm-hmm. But look at the size of the screen relative to the size of the. There's a big bumps at the top and the bottom. Those will disappear on the XL too. This glass window is now smaller. The fingerprint reader is below the glass window, and this is a soft touch. I think you'll like it better than the metal finish.
Even though you're going to put a case on it, but yeah.
Right. 835, Snapdragon 835 processor. That is a better processor than that. I think you have an 820. We have an 821 in our Pixel XL. Camera, I think, is going to be the biggest difference. I think there is going to be a noticeable difference in the camera.
Boy, I'm glad I didn't buy last year's smartphones.
Well, truthfully, the tough one is buying one every year. If it's a two-year difference, yeah, it's like a no-brainer.
This actually helps. I can trade in my Pixel XL and get $410.
That's a great deal. That's a real
do that.
That means that this is now a $450 phone, $440 phone.
That makes it a lot better.
That's fantastic.
So if you look at the trade-in stuff.
I could not trade in. I should have been able to get 115 for my Nexus 5 XP or 5X, except it broke because it was part of that whole flawed LG thing. Grr.
So a 6P 128 gets you $165. Not so great.
No, that's to the two-year-old.
A Pixel 128 gets you 360. It's an estimated. Oh, they ask you, does it turn on? Yes.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Does it have any cracks? Yeah. No.
Mine's perfect shape.
Next, can I reset it? Yes. Estimated value, 230.
for the small Pixel, but for the XL. Anyway, if you can get the trade-in, I think that means a big difference. Better graphics processing.
Yeah, it does.
And I really think the camera is going to be noticeably better. What else is different? You can squeeze it.
Come on!
That's big. Now, I'm very skeptical.
What happens with the case?
The case, if you buy the case from Google, they've designed it to accommodate the squeeze.
And they say they could distinguish an accidental squeeze from an intentional squeeze. And the squeeze launches Google Assistant. So I kind of think that's a smart way.
I thought it could do other things too. I thought it could, you could.
Well, the demo she gave was she squeezed it and then says, take a selfie. And it immediately goes to the camera and literally 2 seconds later goes 3, 2 and takes a selfie. That's a good application.
That's
right,
not
there.
Bad. Yeah.
Or what's the weather going to be? Or what time is it? Or set an appointment for tomorrow at 4:30 to get a haircut. That will be fairly useful, I think. I'm skeptical again, cause that seems like a weird gesture. We've talked about this on and on. If it's an intuitive, simple gesture that kind of comes naturally, that could be a big breakthrough. We need a good way to launch an assistant that doesn't involve turning on the phone or saying things or whatever. I think the squeeze has the potential of being very good.
I'm excited. I can't wait. Talk to me at the end of October.
Yes.
The old assistant, I just tried to do it with my old assistant, and the existing phone won't do it.
Take a selfie? Oh, I thought it did.
Yeah, no.
Really?
It's not doing it for me. I don't know why.
Why is mine red?
Meanwhile, my Google Home is saying, I can't do that yet. Stacy, what?
I love it when Stacy gets excited.
This is like the old breaking news. Stacy has a noise.
What?
Stacy gasped. We must hear
Alexa,
now the pause of the gasp.
Play Taylor Swift Rover. It.
Are you talking to your Dot?
Yes. It's not playing it on the right speaker. It is!
That is okay. Big. I can't wait Alexa to go home stop. And do that. That's nice. That's really great. Okay. I'm very excited about
Sorry,
that.
You guys. It's. I've been waiting for like 8, 9, a year even. So.
Google is once again giving you free unlimited original quality storage for your photos and even 4K videos. That's nice. They ought to. They showed some pretty impressive image stabilization. They have OIS and what they call EIS. The EIS is, camera stabilization, video stabilization, software technology. So on the left, the shaky cam is without OIS and EIS on the right.
And that's only on this phone, not on the old.
This is on the Pixel 2, yeah. It requires hardware with OIS.
Right.
I think that they,
Can we talk about what Google didn't talk about briefly? Because this is part of that, all this camera stuff. Clearly, Google has done something on the chip side related to AI and processing that is as good as, if not better, than what the A11 Bionic chip that Apple has done.
Why do you say that?
Because the type of stuff that they're doing and the processing they're doing on the phone is phenomenal. And we're talking both the image recognition, the amount of computational power it takes to stitch together images like that, the image stabilization. And when you look at what they hinted at it briefly with the clip, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I don't know why they didn't dig into this, because I am insanely curious about what they've done on the silicon side. So,
Aren't they just using stock Snapdragon chips? Are they doing custom?
They are. So, they are using Snapdragon, but I think there's definitely some sort of either co-processor, it would be its
something else going on.
Yes. I think there's got to be something else going on. All so right. this is my bet. I look at all of this, like that image stabilization, and I'm like, Qualcomm has some lovely image stabilization for drones, so I know they've got it, but when you take it to the clip form factor, there's something.
But this is where Google's going to win unless some of these other companies really get it together. They have more data than anybody else. They are all in on artificial intelligence and machine learning. in the face of people saying, oh, gosh, you know, this is Skynet or we don't want Google to know all this stuff. They're not slowing down. They're saying, nope, this is our special sauce. Apple's saying, no, your privacy is more important. We're going to do everything on the phone we can. We don't. So Siri is never going to compete. Amazon
that's
has a
Apple's
lot of
not
data.
Not in the ad business. Right. That's why.
Amazon has a lot of data. They're in the retail business, but their data doesn't really, I think, become as useful as Google's data. They don't read your email, for instance. Facebook knows a lot about your connections, but doesn't read your email, doesn't know a lot about what you're doing in other respects.
Google stopped reading your email.
They stopped reading it for the purposes of advertising.
Right. Okay, so here's something to think about.
I don't know.
Google reads your email. All right. If anything that has anti-spam filtering is reading your email, the question is.
Well, they're looking for keywords. That's
the
different
question
thing.
Is what they do with what they see.
Oh,
but
you're
everybody's
right. Google will keep reading
your email.
Just not for ads. Variety did a lovely story. But what I was going to say is Google has shifted. And these are not people talking to me on the record, but I've run into several Google product managers at various events, and their focus is on using your data to give you better products. Yes, they will sell ads against it, but it's a much more subtle and probably a smarter strategy. So look at their AI for, you know, the sound in their speakers. Look at
Google
Photos.
Yeah, that doesn't make them any advertising money.
So that's what they're doing.
Right. Well, look at Google Translate. In fact, let's look at it right now. This is the earbuds that come with this. And this is actually really interesting. So Apple's AirPods are arguably a big part of the iPhone because there's no headphone jack. You can tap them to use Siri. But this is Google's version of this. Bluetooth earbuds that have a string. That's just, you know, I think that actually is smart because the AirPods are a little easy to use. You can also loop them over your ear, it looks like, which means it keeps them in your ear.
No, you can't. That's the, no.
You put them inside your ear.
Oh, well, that's even better.
They'll never stay in.
No, the loop inside your ear is good because that means, no, that's, no, I like that. That actually, because then it goes against that ridge.
Ears. They're very strange ears.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
It won't work with anything.
I immediately ordered them because
I immediately ordered them.
The thing that most excites me is the demonstration they did of translation, real time.
Oh, my gosh, can we show that to people?
Yeah,
because that was like magic. It was so great. Sorry,
Carson.
Okay, maybe we can.
Let me also. No, I'm at Google. Let me just do the Google keynote and watch the Google 2 event in 19 minutes. I bet you somewhere. This is the Verge's cut down of it. I bet you somewhere in the 19 minutes. We're going to find this translation.
There's that lovely lady on stage, the Swedish lady.
Yeah, the Swedish. He brings his Swedish friend.
Designer.
Here we go. So do you have my audio? All right. But I got to turn it on.
It's an incredible application of Google Translate powered by machine learning that's like having a personal translator by your side. Isabel is going to speak Swedish into her Pixel Buds. And I'll hear the English translation out of Pixel 2's front speakers. And then I'll respond in English, and she'll hear the Swedish translation in her Pixel Buds.
So let me make this clear. What's going to go on. Because it isn't immediately obvious the way it sounds on the recording. But she's got earbuds, so she's going to hear what he's saying in Swedish. We won't hear that part. And then when she speaks in Swedish, the phone will hear it and translate it into English, which he will hear. But it's not clear to hear the sound. So she's holding a Pixel 2, and she's got the Pixel earbuds in the.
Well, I've done this with the phone itself.
Yes, and past. You pass it back and forth, kind of. But this is a much more natural, and look how fast it is.
Hey, Isabel, how are you? Helt
okay, tack.
Absolutely okay, thank you.
Now, it's hard to tell because they're played back through the PA speakers. They screwed this demo up a little bit. They should have played it back for us to hear it. But it's coming through her Pixel phone when it comes out in English.
And note that she has to press the button
which makes sense because it says, listen now, I'm going to speak. I want you to translate this.
It doesn't think it's listening to you all the time and all that.
Let's watch it a little more.
What do you think of these cool new headphones?
Vad tycker du om de här coola nya hörlurarna?
Mitt team designade dem, så jag tycker de är ganska coola.
So that is
I love Swedish.
As close as you can get to UN style. It's the Babelfish. It's UN style simultaneous translation. It's not quite simultaneous, but it's very, very quick. Enough so that you could have a conversation. Faster, in fact, than the phone translator, I think, by a little bit even. Right?
And yes. So I cannot wait to try this out with my daughter who speaks Spanish and I don't, because I'm very curious. Like, I don't speak Swedish. I have no idea the quality of the translation or kind of, because sometimes, you know, Google Translate gets exciting for people. So, but I'm still like, I'm so excited about this.
This is
almost magic.
It could be magic. It really,
I remember way back when at, pardon me for this, Davos, when Eric Schmidt, and Marissa and what's his name, who used to be in charge of Android, demonstrated this the first time, and Schmidt said, "This will bring world peace."
Yeah,
if only.
That sounds like overstatement, and I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. But it's a big deal.
Translate Donald Trump to Kim Jong Un.
Then
okay.
Yeah, maybe if it could intercede a little bit and
no,
make
you
it
fools,
nice.
Don't do this. Yeah.
Please don't do that. Google's Pixel Buds are much like the Apple AirPods in that they have a separate case, cloth covered though, to distinguish it from Apple, and the case has its own battery. So the Pixel Buds, just like the AirPods, have 5 hours of listening time, and the case has another few charges in it. So they say 24 hours when you include the case. I think that's very good. It is a full Google Assistant. That sounds like a really nice marriage. And since you don't, in fact, have a headphone jack, you kind of need wireless headphones. It will work with other Bluetooth headphones, but that special translation stuff and all that stuff requires a Pixel 2.
Is the cord, does it carry charge between the two?
No, it looks like it's just a physical cord to hold them together.
Do you have two Bluetooth connections at once? Does each ear have a Bluetooth connection to the phone?
That's an interesting question.
That is an interesting question.
On other ones, and I can't remember how Apple does it. One does, and then it sends, and then it talks to the other one through your head.
we'll see.
But maybe it does use that cord. It's not clear. It's not clear. You do have to. The touch piece is only on the right ear. So,
and is that all it does is touch, or are there multiple commands? Or
There's multiple. Sweep forward or backward for volume control. Touch to activate the assistant. I think those are the two they demonstrated. There may be more.
My problem with that always is because they fall out of my damned ears. I want to push it in, and of course I activate.
Yeah. Google Assistant on the Google Pixel Buds is only available on Android and requires an assistant-enabled Android device and data connection. So I take it back. It does not require a Pixel, but it does require a phone that does Google Assistant. So that may be a more limited subset. I'm not sure. That was, I thought, really an exciting part of all this. I think the pencil circling things and getting Assistant to respond on the Pixel Book, and then these buds doing the simultaneous translation were two of the highlights, as far as I was concerned. Then they announced something that was a little weird. But Stacey's going to explain this all to us. They call it the Google Clips. And this one, people didn't know what it was. They saw the word Google Clips in the something. I can't remember, firmware or whatever. But nobody really knew what it was. It's a standalone wide-angle camera with 16 gigs of storage. You don't wear it. You put it somewhere, and it decides what to capture. And it gets smarter over time, they say. They're motion stills, so they get seconds of motion on in front and after. There is no audio, and it does not upload it to the cloud until you tell it to, for privacy reasons. You see, in this picture, the two girls are playing, they're doing Lego, and on the pillow is the camera sitting on the pillow spying on you.
Do something cute, girls.
Yeah.
Do something
I don't know how
cute.
It knows where to take pictures.
Yeah, I know.
So this is really, cool / creepy / it would be awesome if you think about it getting embedded into the devices like the Nest cams. So what it's looking for, it talked about looking for people you care about, right? So
yes,
it's recognizing
people
faces.
And pets. Yeah.
But it also recognizes like when people stand still It recognizes smiles. So there's a lot happening here that is actually really hard to do. I mean, computer vision and image recognition like this is not insignificant, even if it's only a few models that it's running. Like recognizing faces, each face is a model, and then recognizing like when people smile in a dog or a cat. So it's kind of creepy, but it's also kind of cool.
If you just put this, like if I put this here during the show, and then what happens is you take your phone and you pair, you say, okay, let me see what you got. And you can and it swipe through it and say, save that one, save that one. So it's not saving everything to the cloud unless you say so. But imagine if it got 10 really interesting shots. That's, I think that could be really, really cool.
But so you got to remember to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes, but imagine that on drones. So think about something like that on drones. Yeah.
Or just around the house. Or I like what you said, if it's on the Nest cams. And it just says, hey, so you had an interesting day. Let me show you some of the things you did.
I think there's two things going on with this, which is admittedly kind of a strange device, which may become awesome all on its own. I don't know. But I think there is whatever AI hardware stuff is happening under the hood that Google's not talking to us about. I think that's part of this design, and they did talk about like how to do it in such a small form factor. I think they're spreading that out across as many devices as possible so it can they can understand how it works, tune the algorithms better, and get the cost down on something like this. So this is kind of
research.
Expensive for
this
what
is
it is.
It's $250.
Yeah.
Can't buy it today, but you can get on the wait list. But it's more a research project than anything else. They're going to learn from doing this.
$250.
And then it could be somewhere else. That's my quote unquote conspiracy theory around Clip or the Clip or whatever.
Think if they were good, I mean, there's a lot of unknown, but no, I think that's exact. I think you nailed it, Stacey. Of course, that's what they're doing. That's what they always do.
Nailed it.
Sorry. But I think even $250 isn't that much if you think about what you might get out of this, especially if you're a family. And you don't, you know, the worst, my kids always hated me because I was always taking pictures. And they would always go, no, don't take pictures. Stop it. So I didn't get a lot of good pictures. But if you just put this thing unobtrusively and let's let it sit there, and at the end of the evening you looked at what you got, you might get some. It depends. It's really going to depend on what you get, what the quality is, what the images look like. But if it works as promised, I can see that. I can see that's worth $250.
Or you get 16 seconds of the burglar coming to your house.
I have to. But see, asking me if I'm going to buy one isn't demonstrative of anything because I have to buy it. Well, no, I'm going to buy all of this because I have to talk about it and review it. And if this thing is terrible, I want to get it so that I can tell people, no, really, this doesn't do what anything it's promised. Or on the other hand, if it does, I might be able to say, hey, this is, believe it or not, this is something you really want to get.
So you know what would be interesting? So think about, like, I'm just thinking about my daughter and how she uses technology and how she communicates with her friends via silly kind of fun things. And I wonder if I'm a teenage girl or a kid, how this fits in kind of with the Snapchat generation, right? And that actually might be kind of fun. I mean, I don't.
That is very interesting, Stacey. Yeah.
So maybe it's like those. When I was growing up, I had my first camera was like this little pink Le Click that took the crappiest pictures ever.
Right.
But I love that thing.
Here's a happy Google family using their Google Clip. It says, be in the moment. That's the point, right? With the people who matter most. Instead of dad annoying everybody by taking pictures and really not being a part of it, you just put that on the flower bag. You leave it there, and then you just do what you do, and then at the end of it, you see what you get. And if you get, look, you don't have to get a lot. If you've got a few good images that are keepers, that's all you need, right? It does have a button that you could force.
And how do you know that you're not cutting off your kid's head?
Well, supposedly it knows.
Right angle.
It's very wide angle, and that's why it's very wide angle. That's going to be one of the negatives is it's all the pictures are going to be very wide angle pictures. But judging by these shots, I think it's
actually kinda, no. I think they must be doing something to compensate
zooming
for that.
In?
Oh,
I don't know.
That
might be
because these people do not look.
If you had a 4K camera on here, which you might. I mean, the sensors are cheap enough. You're right. I mean, that's this third picture in with the guy playing basketball with his kid. That's wide angle. They put it on the basketball. I don't know. That's it. Well, see, that's why we have to get one to review it. If I were a civilian, I would wait to read the reviews before I buy it. But I, you know, I'm not. So we need
130 degree field of view.
That's pretty wide.
15 frames per second. Where's the specs?
They don't say what the sensor is.
No, they don't.
It's a fairly slow sensor. It's f2.4, f2.6, but it's f2.4. But they don't say much about it. This is, I think, Stacey, you're right. This is a stealth project. They're trying to get into people's hands so they can learn more about this. But I think you nailed it when you said this could easily be applied to Nest.
Oh, yeah.
The Nest does that, by the way. The Nest zooms in because it's a 4K sensor on the new Nest IQ. It zooms. And so
software that it gives you lets you pick out cute moments. It shows you what's interesting.
Right.
So,
and it learns people. It learns who's who and will warn you if it sees somebody it hasn't seen before. It has a lot of this smarts in it. I bet you they're related. So that's the clips. They also announced a new Daydream form factor for $99, which is just a little bit improved over the existing Daydream. That is a massive, massive product dump.
That's a lot of product. And add the Nest stuff last week.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So I have to ask, though, because I saw their AR stickers demo, and I was stunned that they spent so much freaking time on the AR stickers. So, no, well, am I old? I kind of wanted to get my daughter to explain this because I'm like,
it's dopey. What? It's the same reason Apple spent a similar amount of time on animated emojis using the camera system, and you make funny faces. I think both of these companies, look, you're no older than the people at Google. They're both, they don't know either. They just notice all these kids using Snapchat filters. And so what can we do? I don't think it's that important. I think it's Florence Ion said this morning when we were covering the stream. And by the way, we do have, if you want to watch the stream, we have a Twitch special where Florence and I comment as it goes on during the event this morning. But she said, this is the kind of thing you use once and never use again.
Yeah. Okay. That's how I didn't even want to use it once.
Right.
So.
And it's not that new. We've seen this kind of placing a thing in augmented reality stuff before. So there you go. If you include the pencil, it's actually even more new products. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a ton. It's a ton of new stuff from Google. And I think, well, let me, before I say what I think, what do you think, Jeff? What does this tell us about Google's ambitions?
Well, that's a good question. I was hoping you go to Stacey first. I think you're right about the ecosystem. I think that Google recognizes it has to be in the hardware business. It needs to provide an ecosystem. You need to live with Assistant. It needs to provide Assistant across all these platforms. Nobody else is going to build it in for them, build it well. So building the best phone they can and the best laptop they can. I'm personally glad they're still doing that. When we thought the Pixel was dead, the only thing is, when they thought the Pixel was dead, I went on eBay. I could only find one. I bought it.
Wow.
Because I was the Chromebook Pixel, because I was so addicted to it. Yeah, and I had the version 1 in my office in New York, and it was just getting too slow. So I have two Chromebook Pixels because I love it that much. Stacey. Sorry, Stacey.
That's okay.
I love but my Stacey, Pixel. People, I love this, my Pixel.
Jeff is not alone. The people who love their Pixels love them. I mean, and I know a lot of them.
Including a lot of Googlers.
I love my Pixel.
I think it's an impressive. Here's a question. What's more impressive, today's Google announcement or the Apple announcements of late?
Oh, Google for sure, times 1,000.
Wow. Okay, that's a big deal.
I think. I
Leo's,
mean,
Leo's worrying about the assassin hits are going to come.
I'm thinking about it. I think Apple. You know, if we really thought Apple would going to be all in on augmented reality, and there'd be a lot to say about augmented reality on their event, and there wasn't. Mm-hmm. They just didn't mention much at all. It wasn't any higher quality what Google did today with a dinosaur, the Stranger Things animal. I think Apple's a little bit disappointing. They announced phones, and they announced phones that are incrementally better than their existing phones. Even the
like iPhone, this
like this, the iPhone X. We know they want an ecosystem. They didn't even talk about at their event. They didn't even talk about their HomePod.
So they missed out what the biggest architectural shift is in computing today, which is computing is about context. It's about an ecosystem of things that are helping you get stuff done. And a phone that is incrementally better is not the vision forward. The vision forward is things like, hey, when my Pixel Chromebook gets next to my whatever Pixel phone, it automatically tethers. And Apple's done a little bit of that in the past. But things like Siri, like when they announced their stuff, I wanted Siri to be so much better. I was waiting for that. And until Siri is good, the HomePod is going to suck. And I look at what Google's done. They've done a very, I mean, Kevin and I were joking. We were talking about like every time someone says machine learning, drink. But they really have done a good job integrating the computational power that all of these things now have access to in really creating a really compelling product and a new vision for how we're going to use devices. And I think that's super impressive. This is the future. And it feels like Apple is kind of like not with it. I don't know.
I would say I agree with you, but the way I would phrase it is Apple has intentionally chosen to value user privacy over gathering the data necessary for machine learning.
I would argue that's because they're not in the ad business. It's not an altruistic act. It's just that they're turning a bug into a feature in their business model.
But I think it's that they're doubling down on it because there is a large segment, maybe growing, maybe even majority segment of people who are concerned about Google. We won't get to talk about it today because we're running out of time, but I really wanted to, and we'll do it next week, we spent some time on Sunday talking about it, about the professor who wrote that Silicon Valley has lost its shine. And get ready, because governments are about to super regulate companies like Google because of these privacy concerns. That you know what I'm talking about, Gallo's piece?
Oh, yeah.
And I this is if it weren't for this Google event, we would have spent the last hour and a half talking about that. But yeah. Next week.
And we'll actually have a triangulation with him on the 20th.
How exciting. So Professor Gallo's will be on – is his name Gallo's or am I – something like that.
Galloway.
Okay. I accidentally turned it into a hangman. Professor Gallo. But he is kind of saying, get ready, because the hangman's noose is coming for you, Silicon Valley. We'll hear from him on triangulation.
And I wrote a piece, too, that I put up. We'll talk about it next week.
Yes.
But arguing that they have to go out of their way to be virtuous, and they're not there.
Right. I think it's quite the opposite. I think Google has decided to double down. They're going to look at Apple's doing privacy. They're all in on privacy. Great news for us. We can win now.
And yes, sorry, someone stuck a thing on here. It was Ron Amadio, who's smart and lovely.
From Ars
Tech, his review of the Pixel 2 and 2 XL. One's nice, one's not. And so I bought the 2, I'll be honest, because I have tiny hands and they're not tiny.
Which
I
one like did he phones. Think was nice or not?
He thought the 2XL was nicer because of the bezel,
but
the curved
the same,
corners.
As Google put was great pains to point out, the same internals. It's
which one did you buy? He says,
the big one, of course.
Okay.
He basically says it's uglier, but I don't know what a chamfered edge is, so I kind of feel like this is a very gadget-oriented.
And also remember, this is Ron based on what he experienced for 15 minutes this morning. This is not a review. This is a hands-on.
Right. But so, Ron's a good dude.
And I love Ron.
He knows his stuff. So.
No. I love Ron. But I don't. This is not a review. This is just here. Here's what I experienced when I held it. So the hardware is exactly the same. And maybe there is a look and feel that's. I kind of agree with him. I think
the hardware is not the same.
What's not? The internals.
The
processor, the camera, The screens are different. One's LCD, one's POLED, but the internals are the same. So you're not getting a slower phone. Google pointed that out. You're just getting a different phone. And I mean, that's just purely subjective, which one looks better to you. I think that's subjective. I don't think that that's a... It's going to function the same. It's going to have the same speed, the same smarts, the same photography skills. It's just whether you like big ears or not on your screen. And we've, you know, all of us, we've had phones that looked like this all our lives until now. This is only now that we're getting bezel-less phones. I kind of agree with him that I prefer a bezel-less phone, but I think if you want a smaller phone, Stacey, you're not going to be unhappy.
I will not be unhappy.
No, I don't think that's a problem.
No one will let you be unhappy.
He says the bezels are massive and awkward, but no, they're exactly the same as the bezels on the current. Look at the current. Show it over my shoulder. The current iPhone 8 and the current Pixel XL. When did this suddenly become, you know, unacceptable? This is what we. Why can't I get the screen turned on here? This is what we've been living with all this time.
I am highly fashionable, so maybe I'll care about bezels. I don't know.
No, I do think that in a couple of years, having big ears on a screen will look kind of silly. But by the way, I should point out one of the negatives to me on this new Pixelbook is while we're seeing many laptops with virtually no bezel on the screen, the Pixelbook has big, big bezels on the
laptop. Isn't that because it wrapped its antenna around?
Maybe I don't know what the argument is for it, but it is. I don't think it's if you look at this compared to most modern laptops, I don't think it's particularly attractive. Frankly, look at the size of the bezels on this. This looks like
what
an
big
old
bezels you have.
This looks like an old fashioned laptop with those bezels. So, but that's a purely subjective, you know, a design or a taste thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think you would be unhappy with the Pixel XL.
It looks very much like my present. Pixel.
Yeah. I mean, my current, you know, choice of laptops, Windows laptops, most of them have much thinner bezels than this, but that's fine. Good. Well, I will read his hands-on, but I don't think that's a cause for concern if you've already ordered the little one. We didn't talk about...
Oh, I'm not concerned.
Yeah. We didn't talk about Google Lens. They've been showing this since Google Goggles.
I was just going to ask about that. Yeah.
The demos looked good, but until we have it, you can't really say much about it.
All right, Jeff needs to go.
I think we got to take a break and get your final picks of the week.
Fishy.
And in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsors, Capterra. People call me all the time on the radio show and say, I have a business and I need some software for my yoga studio or my dental practice or my contractor's business. And I say, I don't know what you should. And, you know, most of the time people will just Google this, you know, what's the best contractor software. I got a better idea. Go to Capterra, CAPTERRA.com/twig. Capterra lets you find the business software you need, hundreds of thousands of programs in 400 categories, with the reviews, with the information you need to make a smart choice. What are you looking for? Alumni management software, audit software, augmented reality software, barcoding software, bug tracking software, call center software, catering. Let's do catering. Catering software. I have a catering business. I need some software. Do you have some choices? 57 results. Caterees, total party planning, gather, better cater. This is kind of one of the things that's kind of Capterra opened my eyes to, how much vertical business software there is. But that maybe is a little bit overwhelming. So what if we say, well, I only want to see 4 stars and up. And let's have it be web-based. I would love it if it would allow me to manage events, facilities, inventory, and customers. How about that? Now we'll filter the results. And, well, we got it down to 4 products. Let's add to compare, add to compare, add to compare. Add to compare, monkey software. I like that. And now I can take these products and I can look at a chart created just for me on Capterra.com/twig that says who uses this software, what's the target customer size, how much it costs, is there a free trial, what platforms it runs on, what it can do. And then you get the reviews. Reviews from real users, hundreds of thousands of reviews. From real users. They're very careful to vet these. So you're going to get the information you need to make exactly the right choice on the business software you need. And best of all, it's absolutely free. There's no sign up. No salesman will call. You won't get emails from Capterra. This is a software solution for every business need, and it costs you absolutely nothing. And my question to you is, why are you Googling it? Why are you calling the tech guy? Just go to Capterra.com/twig and find the right business software for free. 200,000 reviews by actual users, vetted. I love that. Capterra.com/twig. 3 million people use it every month. That's a great service they provide. Well, I wish we had some more time. There's so much more to talk about.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. No.
Jeff, I'm getting hungry. You're fine.
We've already hit an hour and 43 minutes. This is not a short show by any means. But there are so many things I wanted to talk about. The fake news that surfaced on both Google and Facebook safety page after the horrific Vegas shootings. That's a problem. I know you have some things to say about journalism. In particular, what was it that I saw? Jeff's going to want to talk about this. Well, I can't remember, but guess what? We get together every week so we can talk about it, and we will.
And I'll be coming on from Berlin next week.
Oh, what are you doing in Berlin?
Speaking at a newspaper digital conference.
Oh, Facebook's revealing that there are some of the Russian ads now. Is this enough? I want to see those ads.
I wrote a piece arguing that they need to do more.
That's what I'd say. Wither News. Moral authority is a platform, writes Jeff. We shall read more about it and then discuss for next week. Jeff, you got a number for us this week?
Yes, I do. Google has now also announced a Street View Ready program. And there's a camera now for $3,500. You can make your own Street View and you can contribute images to Google Street View.
Why would I?
I'm not 100% why you do that.
Yeah. Actually, you could make a business out of it, couldn't you?
Well, they're not paying you for it. I guess what
No, you go. Because remember when we had a Street View, an internal Street View done of our business.
This is auto ready.
This is, you put it in your car. It's got a mount in.
I don't know what the business would be for that. Maybe you could map a campus.
Google's going to have loners. So it's fairly weird. It's a 360 degree 8K camera, the Insta360. And you load it up to Street View.
It's for parks. It's for private places that Google can't get into.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I guess so. Oh. I thought it was a little odd.
I thought it was kind of freaky because I hate the idea of like getting caught. I mean, I hate the idea of getting caught on a Street View camera, right. But like this will increase the number of the
creep
velocity
view.
Of
it's the new Creep View feature.
Yeah, Creep View, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because you don't have to mark a car up or anything. You just surreptitiously drive around like
right.
that.
Right. Right.
Hmm.
Put it on top of a van, you won't even see it.
What if they sold that to law enforcement, to police departments, or governments?
Yeah, well, that is a real concern about when we put cameras on city buses or anything else. Hmm. How do we govern that data use?
Hmm. Okay, the number is $3,500.
It's a number. It's a number.
It's a number. No, it's a good number.
It is a number.
What does it mean? Stacey Higginbotham, your pick of the week.
I have a thing to show you. This isn't exactly a pick, as many of my things are not picks. They're just things. This is the August Smart Lock. This is the new base model. So this is the cheapest August that you can buy for, I think it's $149. It's Bluetooth enabled and Nest enabled, but it doesn't. You'd have to spend the additional, I think it's $79 for the bridge if you want it not to work with Bluetooth, or if you want it to work over Wi-Fi and have like Madam A or whatever on it. But as locks go, this is actually really impressive. It is very sturdy hardware.
It looks like.
It is like this lock weighs at least a pound. I mean, it is kind of ridiculous, I'll be honest. So it also comes, I didn't see the door sense sensor in here. Oh, nope, it's in there. So it comes with their new, they launched something called Door Sense. So if your door is kind of ajar, but the lock is closed, it no longer will say, hey, your door is locked. It'll say, your door is ajar. So I just wanted to show y'all because it's hefty. It's a new form factor for the August. And that's kind of that. The other one is on my door, so it's working. So yeah, that's what this is. The back looks like this. What you do is you'll take your deadbolt out, just the deadbolt part. You leave the locking mechanism. Oh, sorry. Yeah. You leave the locking mechanism in. You stick this on the thing you remove from the front. So the back, your key lock stays the same. You stick that on, and then what you'll do is these have little wings, and you'll just mount it on. It takes like possibly not even 10 minutes really to install. So I prefer to install my entire lock, to swap out my entire lock, but people do like this, and it's the most popular, I think, smart home lock out there or something. I don't know.
I'm going to have to take a look at it because I've been resistant to the idea of automated locks, but you're right. They could just break the door down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not – I mean, if you want to hack my door
– right. Be easier just to kick it in.
it would honestly, my door has a window next to it. Yeah, you could just break the window in.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. A lock's a suggesting.
I'm also, this is not really a thing, but this is a thing because I bought it for $8.
Your pride cheaper if you don't, wrist towels?
If you don't want your, also there's a sweatband, but I did not wear that because that's hot. But I bought it to cover my Fitbit for two things. Ah. One, in the middle of the night, it glows whenever I move. It thinks I need to see the time, and my husband gets cranky about it.
Yes.
So it puts it up. But it also, I've done kettlebells for a while now, and it protects your Apple Watch or your kettlebell or from any sort of, like, if you're working out with something that's going to hit your watch, because a friend of mine cracked her Fitbit doing that.
I thought you were in a bell choir.
Well, I guess if you were doing handbells, that is true.
This is the equivalent of Russian bell ringing.
Yeah. Anyway, I just throwing that out there for you guys because I never even really thought about them. But then I was like, hot damn.
And you look like you're a gay tennis pro.
Basically, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
You wear those to bed?
No, I just wear one over my Fitbit.
Oh, that's
super comfortable.
And sporty, too. They're rainbow.
That's very geeky.
Towel.
That's extremely geeky.
That's a good point. If you're going to wear a sleep tracker to bed, you probably should cover it up so that it doesn't wake up your spouse. It's an excellent point. I've been on vacation. I'm groggy. I have nothing to say. I have nothing to pick except
jet lag.
You too. I pick you guys. I tell you, I'll pick our Twit Live special 326. If you didn't see the Google event, Florence Ion and I talked all about it this morning, and it's available at twit.tv/specials or wherever you get your podcasts. Highly recommend it. Of course, as long as you're subscribing to shows, you might want to subscribe to this. This Week in Google, we do it every Wednesday, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, 20:30 UTC, right here at twit.tv/live. You can join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv and subscribe if you want and get the on-demand version automatically. It's almost as good as Stranger Things, and certainly is strange. Stacey Higginbotham does a podcast of her own with the wonderful Kevin Toasted. Kevin Toastel.
He is not toasted when he does the podcast. I can guarantee that.
Kevin Toefel. It's IoTpodcast.com. And Stacey's newsletter is Stacey on IoT.com. And don't forget her on Twitter, GigaStacey, STACEY. You'll find Mr. Jeff Jarvis at BuzzMachine.com. He also writes frequently at Medium. His books, What Would Google Do? Public Parts. Geek Sparing Gifts, all about reinventing news, and Gutenberg the Geek are available on Amazon and everywhere finer books are. He's at Jeff Jarvis on the Twitter. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Stacey.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back. I missed you guys.
Thanks missed you.
To all of you for joining us. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google.